Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Friday evening church service on this 27th day of June 2025, the last Friday in June. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone and those listening to the recording of tonight's service. I'm glad to have you in fellowship. Praise God for his merciful kindness, bringing us back to another time of sweet fellowship in worshiping God from whom all blessings flow. So welcome, dear ones. And our opening song is I Know My Heavenly Father Knows. I know my Heavenly Father knows the storms that would my way oppose. But he can drive the clouds away and turn the darkness into day. And turn the darkness into day. I know my Father knows, he knows, I'm sure he knows, the storms that would my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows, he knows, I'm sure he knows, and tempers every wind that I know my Heavenly Father knows the balm I need to soothe my woes. And with his touch of love divine, he heals this wounded heart of mine. He heals this wounded heart of mine. I know my Father knows, he knows, I'm sure he knows, the storms that would my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows, he knows, I'm sure he knows, and tempers every wind that blows.
If I can get this crazy mic of mine to come alive, I'll see if I can do something here. I know my Heavenly Father knows how frail I am to meet my foes, but he my cause will e'er defend, uphold and keep me to the end, uphold and keep me to the end. I know my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows, the storms that would my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows, he knows, I'm sure he knows, and tempers every wind that blows. I think Lynn was the one that taught us that song. Where is she to sing the last verse?
Yeah, it would be nice if she was here. She is dealing with her mom, that's a full-time care, and also with her brother, that is another full-time care. So she is very drained. And she came in last Friday. She didn't say anything, but she was here. So it'd be nice to keep her in prayer, especially for extra grace and strength. I know my heavenly Father knows the hour my journey here will close. And may that hour, O faithful guide, find me safe sheltered by thy side. Find me safe sheltered by thy side. I know my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows, the storms that would my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows, and tempers every wind that blows. Thank you, Father. It's quite comforting to know that God is aware of exactly what you're going through, and he knows exactly how much you can bear, and so he holds out the grace, the strength, for you to take hold of, and in order to endure, he's right there by your side. And dear ones, who would like to offer opening prayer for our service tonight? Please go right ahead.
Thank you, dear Father in heaven, for knowing all that we go through and for being ever present through our trials and difficulties and also through our joys and happiness. Thank you for your creations, which remind us of the things that you love, color, animals, birds. You created them out of nothing. And thank you so much for a daily reminder of your love for us. Be with each one of us as we study your word. Send the Holy Spirit to make these words live in our hearts. And thank you for being a God who answers prayer and for doing this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And now one announcement before we get into our study book. Next Sabbath is July the 5th. And we'll be having foot washing and communion on that Sabbath. So just giving you a heads up of what's coming next Sabbath, July the 5th, is foot washing and communion. So please come prepared, dear ones. We're continuing in Prophets and Kings. This is chapter 35, titled Approaching Doom. And we left off about a third of the way down on page 425 at the paragraph that begins, God had pleaded. And the last thing that we were discussing is that the Holy Spirit is sent down to work upon the hearts of men and women and children. And the Spirit seeks to soften and subdue the heart. And if the person allows their heart to be softened and subdued, to be humbled, then the Spirit works with them. They'll give heed to the Spirit's counsel. They will turn away from their following their own course, their own wisdom, or the wisdom of others, and will submit to God's wisdom. But if they decide that they're not going to listen to the Holy Spirit's admonitions or his pricking of their hearts or his impressions upon their minds, Then they grieve the Holy Spirit away. And in grieving the Spirit, it makes it more difficult for the Spirit to reach their heart the next time. So their heart becomes hardened. It becomes seared a little bit. And when you sear flesh and it heals, there's a scar there. So when we reject the Spirit's counsel, our heart becomes hardened. It becomes scarred. And you can understand that pretty soon there is no soft skin left. There's nothing but scars. And scars are not pliable. They're not soft. They're very hard. They don't stretch. They're fixed. And we definitely do not want our heart to become hardened to the point that it is stiff and never will soften. Now, the channel that the Spirit operates through is the truth. In fact, that's the only channel that the Spirit works through, is the truth. So the only way that the Spirit works upon our hearts is through the truth. And so if we reject the Spirit, we are in some way rejecting the truth. And that allows the darkness to envelop us. And that's definitely something that we do not want to do. So that's where we left off. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. God had pleaded with Judah not to provoke him to anger, but they had hearkened not. Finally, sentence was pronounced against them. They were to be led away captive to Babylon. The Chaldeans were to be used as the instruments by which God would chastise his disobedient people. The sufferings of the men of Judah were to be in proportion to the light that they had had, and to the warnings they had despised and rejected. Long had God delayed his judgments, but now he would visit his displeasure upon them as a last effort to check them in their evil course. Now, this is quite interesting here. Because they refused to follow God, they hearkened not to what God wanted them to follow, to believe. Then he pronounced the sentence against them. And notice it wasn't probation closing here. It was that Babylon was going to capture them and the church. And as I mentioned, this was not a probation closed situation. This was that after a certain point in time, God would call his people out of Babylon to bring them back to his side. But we also see that allowing Babylon to conquer the church was a last effort to stop them, check them, in their course of evil. So God was using Babylon and Babylon conquering his people as a way to stop them from continuing in evil. So in a way, it was a blessing for Babylon to conquer the church because this was the last effort to stop them in their course of evil. Now, not very many people would look at that situation as a blessing. But we see that it was a blessing in disguise. Now, they weren't to remain in Babylon. They were to come out of Babylon when God sent the message that the time was at hand, that the 70 years had been fulfilled. So it wasn't God's purpose to leave them forever in Babylon, but to bring them out of Babylon at the set time. Any thoughts or comments, dear ones? Questions? Please go right ahead.
Kind of like if you're on a way somewhere and you have a flat tire and you think, wow, a flat tire, this is terrible. It's going to make me late for my appointment, but the flat tire probably saved you from being in a terrible accident, which might have taken your life. And God can see in the future. So when a flat tire happens, it's not the end of the world. And just kind of look at it that way, though. This is detaining me here for a while to keep something worse from happening to me along the way. And that's how God tempers his punishments, and praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, and that's a great way to look at unsavory situations, right? If God knows the future, and we know he does, then he knows everything that will occur during that day. So if God sees that if you follow your particular plans and you go to town, that there's going to be something disastrous that's going to occur. Like you mentioned, you get in an accident or a sniper on the road or whatever it may be. So in order to prevent that future from occurring, God allows something to interrupt the plans. So a water heater breaks in your house and you can't go to town because now you have to focus on keeping water from flooding your floor. Right? Or as you mentioned, a flat tire. Now you can't drive to town. You got to take the time to fix the flat. And so if it took a half hour to fix the flat, well, that delayed you going to town for 30 minutes. Which means that the sniper or the accident or something more disastrous did not involve you because now your plans had been altered. But so often we don't recognize that God's in control. And we think that we're in control. We have a set schedule. We have to abide by that schedule. We can't be late to that schedule. We can't let any interruptions happen to that schedule. It has to be carried out exactly as we have it planned. So we're in control of the day. And that's not a very wise course because we don't know the future. So if we set our plans, but we allow God to intervene whenever and wherever he wants to, then we're not going to be upset if our plans are changed because we recognize that God is in control. And if he's in control, then the change is for our benefit. And that would put a whole different outlook on the day's activities or the change in day's activities. Because we recognize that God loves us enough to intervene and to change our schedule. So great point, dear sister.
Another thing to think about as in the last days the devil's going around like a roaring lion because he knows he's got a short time. And a lot of his vengeance is poured out against God's people, especially those with the loud cry. And God has armor around you to protect you because you're very valuable to him to get the message out. And therefore the devil is defeated again.
Amen. Any other thoughts or comments, Gerard? Who'd like to read this paragraph?
On the house of the Rechabites was pronounced a continued blessing. The prophet declared, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Verses 18 and 19. Thus God taught his people that faithfulness and obedience would be reflected back upon Judah in blessing, even as the Rechabites were blessed for obedience to their father's command.
Amen. I mean, what a honor was poured out upon the children of Jonadab. Upon the Rechabites, that out of their lineage forever, they would always have a man that would follow God with all his heart. I mean, that is a tremendous legacy to pass on to your children. All because of obedience to their father. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
The lesson is for us. If the requirements of a good and wise father who took the best and most effectual means to secure his posterity against the evils of intemperance were worthy of strict obedience, surely God's authority should be held in as much greater reverence as he is holier than man. Our Creator and our Commander, infinite in power, terrible in judgment, seeks by every means to bring men to see and repent of their sins. By the mouth of his servants, he predicts the dangers of disobedience. He sounds a note of warning and faithfully reproves sin. His people are kept in prosperity only by his mercy, through the vigilant watch care of chosen instrumentalities. He cannot uphold and guard a people who reject his counsel and despise his reproofs. For a time, he may withhold his retributive judgments, yet he cannot always stay his hand.
Amen. Amen. So we see the tender love and long-suffering, merciful kindness of our God. But if we choose to disobey him, he will not always hold back from punishing us. Just look at the children of Israel. Any other thoughts or comments, Stuart? And who would like to read the next paragraph? Well, I'll go ahead. The children of Judah were numbered among those of whom God had declared, "Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." Exodus 19:6. Never did Jeremiah in his ministry lose sight of the vital importance of heart holiness in the varied relationships of life, and especially in the service of the Most High God. Plainly, he foresaw the downfall of the kingdom and a scattering of the inhabitants of Judah among the nations. But with the eye of faith, he looked beyond all this to the times of restoration. Ringing in his ears was the divine promise, "I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Jeremiah 23:3-6. Amen. Any thoughts or comments, Stuart? So here we see a promise that God would gather the remnant of his people, of his church, out of all the countries whither they have been driven. Remember, Babylon conquered them and took them out of their land. So God promises to gather the remnant of his people out of Babylon, and they would go and dwell safely in the Lord our righteousness. The righteous branch. The king. The one who would save his people. And they would dwell safely in him. Isn't that the same message for these last days? Come out of her, my people, and go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness. It's the very same message. Any other thoughts or comments? Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Oh, yeah, there's only four volunteers here. Thus prophecies of oncoming judgments were mingled with the promises of final and glorious deliverance. Those who should choose to make their peace with God and live holy lives amid the prevailing apostasy would receive strength for every trial and be enabled to witness for him with mighty power. And in the ages to come, the deliverance wrought in their behalf would exceed the fame, in fame, that wrought by the children of Israel at the time of the Exodus. The days were coming, the Lord declared through his prophet, when they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country. North country. And from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Verses 7 and 8. Such were the wonderful prophecies uttered by Jeremiah during the closing years of the history of the kingdom of Judah. When the Babylonians were coming to, when the Babylonians were coming to, coming into universal rule, and were even then bringing their besieging armies against the walls of Zion.
Amen. So the north country was Babylon. And God says that when he delivers his people from Babylon, they're no longer going to say, the Lord liveth, which brought his people out of Egypt in the Exodus, but the Lord liveth, which brought his people out of Babylon and all other countries where they had been driven. And God would bring them safely into their own land. And what is the land for God's remnant people today? Is it the Holy Land of Israel, so-called? No. We're pilgrims on this earth. We seek a better country, even a heavenly country. But before we can have that heavenly country, we have to come out of Babylon. And that's not just physically come out, but we need to have Babylon out of our existence, out of our hearts, our thinking, our minds. So it's not just coming out of the Babylonian apostate churches and all other churches that we may have connections with, but we're to also separate Babylon out of our hearts and our minds. And then God will bring us to our own land there on the new earth. Quite a promise, isn't it? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Like sweetest music, these promises of deliverance fell upon the ears of those who were steadfast in their worship of Jehovah. In the homes of the high and the lowly, where the counsels of a covenant-keeping God were still held in reverence, the words of the prophet were repeated again and again. Even the children were mightily stirred, and upon their young and receptive minds, lasting impressions were made.
Amen. So even the children were mightily stirred by these promises of deliverance. So this reveals that the Holy Spirit works even upon the hearts and the minds of children, not just upon adults, but even the younger members of the Lord's family. So God's Spirit can be poured out irregardless of age, irregardless of maturity, irregardless of gender. The Spirit works upon any heart that is open, that is softened and subdued to receive Him. Any comments or thoughts before we go to the next paragraph?
I was thinking back on a time when my brother and I were engaged in trick-or-treating around Halloween time. And we knocked on the door to trick-or-treat, and a man came to the door and invited us in the house. And he says, "I'll give you a treat if you do a trick for me." And so we were thinking, the only thing we knew was the song Jesus Loves Me. So my brother and I sang Jesus Loves Me to this man and his family there in the home. It was in our neighborhood. And when we were done singing, he was wiping tears out of his eyes. And he said, "Where do you live?" And we told him we lived down at the end of the street. And he nodded his head and he said, "Well, thank you." And we went on our way. And this was such a, I don't know, this impression has stayed with me all of my life, that it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, God can use you to bring His love to someone else. We did not know this man, but he was in our neighborhood. And at the time, we did not know that we were doing some pagan thing by going out trick-or-treating on Halloween. We knew nothing of that. We were innocent. But we did know that Jesus loves me. And this man heard it. And praise God for that experience.
Amen. God bless the blessings, everybody. I just entered and then I was taken directly to a very long life experience. How the Holy Spirit works, even among the young ones. And I very well reflected how these kids, the children, the young ones behave. And the truth is very much at work, building the young ones with love. I refer to the situation where the young ones can maybe reach a misunderstanding and they start beating each other. But shortly after that, you don't see any of the young ones keeping grudge, anger on his mind, on his or her mind. But they will keep continuing with their probably a play. And if one was annoyed, he would just probably cry a little bit, and then he not abandon and he hate go away, but shortly they will start choosing each other, and then they will keep continuing their work. A good reflection that the Holy Spirit is very deeply working among the young ones, and nobody will keep a grudge and anger on the mind, but they only complain, they only cry when one has encroached another one's doing. And when he chooses to the other or the one they feel is bigger or is of advice, that makes the end of everything. And surely you see, you imagine, people are shouting, they are maybe beating each other, but nobody will now abandon what they are doing and will go. And nobody, maybe when he is badly hit by a friend, is when he will go and tell the elder or the mother or the other guardian. But he will find themselves wrangling, they are shouting, but nobody hates another. And this one, when he said the Holy Spirit was even among them, he's very at big work among the children to build love. And this, when they build love, it means the Holy Spirit is very busy building the image of God among the ones. You must love one another. No grudge, in as much as anything happens, you should just simply cry, come back to what they are doing until they go. It's very wonderful the way the Holy Spirit works among the young ones, among anybody else, and you see them growing, loving one another. Thank you.
Amen. And praise God for working upon all hearts. And continuing here. It was their conscientious observance to the commands of Holy Scripture that in the days of Jeremiah's ministry brought to Daniel and his fellows opportunities to exalt the true God before the nations of earth. The instruction these Hebrew children had received in the homes of their parents made them strong in faith and constant in their service of the living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. When, early in the reign of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar for the first time besieged and captured Jerusalem and carried away Daniel and his companions with others specially chosen for service in the court of Babylon, the faith of the Hebrew captives was tried to the utmost. But those who had learned to place their trust in the promises of God found these all sufficient in every experience through which they were called to pass during their sojourn in a strange land. The scriptures proved to them a guide and a stay. So the training that Daniel and his companions received in the home made them able to endure the temptations and the trying experiences of having to live in a strange land. They were taken away from their home and put into another home, although in this case it was a palace. But what they had learned in the home kept them steadfast in following God, no matter where they may have been taken to. So, even though they wanted to be with their parents or near their parents, that wasn't the reason why they chose to follow God. They chose to follow God because they loved him. And they learned to love him by knowing about his character from the scriptures. So it's the same with us, dear ones. We may be taken away from loved ones by force. But even though our loved ones were following God and we were following God, we don't lose faith in God. We don't give up the scriptures just because we're not at home anymore. If we have the scriptures written in our heart and our mind. There are some that Bunyan calls pliable. They adopt whatever spirit they're around. So if it's the spirit of the world, then they become worldly. If they're among those that are religious, they become religiously minded. We don't want to be pliable. We want conscientiously to serve the Lord, to follow His word, to obey His law, because we want to exalt the true God before the nations, before others. So no matter where we are, God hasn't changed. The Bible hasn't been made of none effect. God's law is still valid, still binding, and our love for Him is still there. So it doesn't matter where we are or who we're among. It doesn't matter what type of spirit or atmosphere we're surrounded by. We choose to follow God. That's the same with Daniel and his companions. When Nebuchadnezzar first came in and besieged and captured Jerusalem, he took away Daniel and his companions and others. Nebuchadnezzar came back a couple more times before Jerusalem was finally completely destroyed. But it didn't matter that Daniel and his companions were in Babylon. That didn't change the fact that they still loved God, that they still wanted to keep His law, that they still wanted to follow Him. And when you look in Daniel, I mean, we're going through Daniel in our Wednesday evening service. When you look at how Daniel and his companions served God, it was an object lesson. It was teaching the Babylonians how to follow God. And it all started with their diet. Chapter 1. So we need to be the same conscientious observers of the commandments of God, regardless of where we may be, even if we're all alone. Doesn't matter. We don't need others in order to serve God, in order to love Him, in order to obey Him. I mean, it's nice to have others to fellowship with. It's nice to have a family that worships God together, right? But if we're deprived of that, it's not going to affect the Bible. It's not going to affect God. It's not going to diminish love. If anything, it's going to want to cause us to become more devoted, more loving, more attentive to the Spirit leading and guiding us, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Yeah, and amen. We're going to spend a lot more time praying, right? So, do you love God? Or do you only love Him when you're around others who love God? Do you study the Bible when you're all alone? Or do you only study the Bible when there's others that study the Bible around you? Any thoughts, comments, questions, dear Ruth?
Yes. Imagine about Daniel taken away and then they were established in the Lord. We are living the very so many times when things are worse. When you see, when the world is almost being swept away by the evil with bad characters. And now everybody is looking to see who was established according to the love of God. Whether you are not taken away whether you are within your own community, people want to see you established in the love of God. And actually, what is interesting, that people seeing God in you is not far-fetched. They will just look at you and they will themselves start seeing the image of God in you, and they will eventually say, this man here, and he has good manners. For one reason, that deeply the Holy Spirit has established in the love of God, and these are being seen as fruits from you, whether you are still within the home or whether you are away. But now we are seeing the experience of Daniel and his companion, that in as much as they went away, taken away many miles away from their community, people could see God in them. People could see the love of God. People could see they were established to love God. They had the manners that could reflect the love, humanity in them. So in a similar way, today the world has gone viral with the bad character. Children are most disobedient in these last days. But the few ones who love God, people will know that this man, these kids are from a free, maybe they could say a religious family, but mostly Africa, we always say, this man, these children, these people are from Christian homes. And what happens in Christian homes? People expect good manners. People expect, those people have the mind of Christ in them. And therefore, in these last days, we should to establish ourselves in the God-loving character. And this is why the Bible says, instruct the children in the Lord, when they grow, they never depart from it. So it's very interesting when we see that we are living. It's very unfortunate, again, in Africa, that we can live there. But when somebody comes, reaches you, talks to you, you immediately understand, learn in his inside and see the picture of God in that family. But when you are in a weird home, then immediately when somebody speaks to you, comes to your home, he will find a home, and he will start immediately seeing the ungodliness in your establishment. So we should note in these various days that children are very disobedient, and those all are characters of the last days. By now, we should take it to note that we establish our children. We allow the Holy Spirit to work on every mind of the other so that we are established. And as much as whether we are within the home, whether we are taken away, immediately people will see a reflection of God in us. Thank you so much for this, a wonderful lesson that we are able to learn, that wherever we are, we should be there to see that we are established in the great love of God, and that the world, those coming near us, can see a godly establishment among us. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
As an interpreter of the meaning of the judgment began to fall upon Judah, Jeremiah stood nobly in defense of the justice of God and of his merciful designs, even in the severest chastisement. Untiringly, the prophet labored, desirous of reaching all classes, he extended the sphere of his influence beyond Jerusalem to the surrounding districts by frequent visits to various parts of the kingdom.
Amen. Well, thank you, dear brother. Now notice this passage here. As an interpreter of the meaning of the judgments of God. Now Jeremiah was a prophet. But it also says that he was an interpreter of the meaning of the judgments. So, since Jeremiah was a prophet, then he was an interpreter of the prophecies. And you read in the scriptures where it says the prophets are subject to the prophets. So, we know that scripture is not of any private interpretation, but it interprets itself. In other words, the prophets are interpreters of the scriptures. So when you think you have a correct interpretation of the Word of God, you need to submit that interpretation to the prophets, to the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy, and allow the prophets to interpret the correct meaning of whatever passage in Scripture it is. Isaiah 8:20 tells us to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So we're to bring what we think scripture means to the prophets, to the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy, to the law and to the testimony, and allow the prophets to tell us if we're correct in our interpretation or not. But so many times, the devil leads people to believe that they don't need to submit their interpretations to the prophets. Or they can eliminate some of the prophets and only go with a few of the prophets, right? To the most of the Protestant denominations, they believe that the Old Testament really doesn't have any bearing upon the New. We're in the New Testament now, so we need to limit what we study to just the New Testament. So they cut out, what is it, 40 some prophets of the Old Testament, and they limit their interpretation to just less than 30 prophets in the New Testament. Or among Adventists, they shut out Ellen White and they just focus on the scriptures. You also have that in the those that have separated from the church. They cut out the prophecy, the testimonies, the Spirit of Prophecy. They cut out the writings of Ellen White and they just go with the prophets of the Old and the New Testament. But God says that the interpreter of the prophecies are the prophets that the Spirit inspired to write the words of God. So if we have an interpretation that differs from what the prophets in the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy tell us is true, then our interpretation is wrong. It is not correct. It is in error. It's falsehood. And God is testing our heart to see what we're going to do in that situation. Are we going to subdue our heart and allow the Spirit to teach us? Or are we going to harden our heart and reject the Spirit? I pray that we will allow the Word of God to be our interpreter of the Word of God.
Amen. And praise the Lord that the Bible and the Bible aren't its own interpreter. In the days of Jeremiah, him was a prophet of the Lord. He was a seer. You see, unfortunately, in these last days, many of our presenters, preachers, Bible readers, sometimes do interpret their own things that suit their own interests, their own establishment. But I thank the Lord that the Bible remains its own interpreter. In as much as you commit your time and concrete heart to read it, you find the judgments of God, and it's full of judgments. And this meaning, sorry, the Bible is full of judgments that whatever I read direct you for life or judgment. And when you follow it keenly, then you'll find no errors. I'm overwhelmed by the way these days what the so-called pastors in the world in Christendom interpret the Bible, interpret the writings therein. Many took the Bible to establish their own ministries. And people will think those are men of God and they are moved. I've seen a reference here in Kampala, Uganda, where a pastor in a Pentecostal church can read the Bible and interpret it the way he wants, and the whole congregation will be following and doing whatever they want. One time, he led them to establish a very big church and demanding them to pay lots and lots of money, and people posted. The man, the pastor, because people believed in him that he's an interpreter of God's judgment, and people were following him, the man collected the millions and the, not even millions, but billions of money. Here he has again constructed the SS in Rwanda. Now, people use the Bible to interpret their, to interpret judgments, to establish their interests. And you will see people with very, what they can say, growing or prosperous ministries, establishing probably school, doing whatever they want, for one reason that they have used the Bible readings and they are only presenting judgments to the congregation, and the congregation fear, and they feel they follow that person. But then they interpret each to benefit their interests. In themselves, they have selfish interests as they read the Bible to establish them. So, I praise the Lord for one thing, that whether Jeremiah, whether Joshua, whether who, as you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you'll be reading your own judgments, and indeed, we shall be led to the kingdom of God. We only need untiring efforts to read it. And more so when we reach the times of reading and interpreting the prophecies of the future. Where a layman, a person doesn't understand well, and this is how people have been led, and they see. You read and you remain in suspense. You don't understand what was written for our own times. then you find the pastors of the world interpreting according to their interests, and people think they're telling the truth. So we need to be very careful when we are reading God's judgments, so that we are established in the works of God. Not only to establish ourselves in very prospering ministries, but we should be establishing the works of God. This is what I wanted to point out. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll go ahead and stop at this point, and we'll pick it up at the next paragraph at the bottom of page 428 that starts out, in his testimonies to the church. So Jeremiah had testimonies that were written to the church, and so does Ellen White. Quite interesting. Anyway, that's where we'll pick it up next time. Are there any thoughts or comments, testimonies, any questions, anything that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Yes, good evening and good morning, if there are any who is like me in the morning hours. And I can say, Sabbath blessings to all of you. It has been a wonderful week. I've been up and down, trying to fix things and trying to reach out to my dear friends around. For a reason that we are envisioned with Michael McCowell, have an online conference. For one reason, we are living in a world of social media, and when I move around every other village, every other family, you'll find people very busy with phones, looking at nothing other than TikTok, FB. And this all portray nothing other than portraying what I can say, the evils of the world. So it came to the back of my mind and said, no, what? Why can't you also start making up a conference online so that we get our people use it? We can encourage one another. Many times when I visit places like deep, far away from me in Kenya, probably Tanzania, and you talk about Bob, what? They say, hey, we thought Bob, as I say, we thought Bob is no longer in the ministry. Oh, yeah, he back as no, he's there. But for one reason that many used to hear about him, many had their tracks long time ago, and they no longer probably receive them, because it's a vast location. And I said, no, Michael, can we have a conference online? So I praise the Lord that we are in high gears. We are now coming up with a timetable. And also I thank Elder Bob that he has accepted to at least speak to us in a few hours of the day we shall have allocated. And that praise the Lord that Michael and I are soon finalizing the timetable according to the time schedules we are going to allocate people. We don't want to break many that you wake up at night, we are online. No, we want to allocate somebody time when it's also his the time. Those in mid-America will be joining us, also in the daytime. I've been speaking to my dear brother, Jonathan, who leads the Filipinos in a chat room, and one of them has also accepted to join us, and Jonathan also said he's joining us. So I wanted to have that spirit established in us that we can still have a conference online and share, know each other, and know that we are doing a great work elsewhere, and that I pray that it works very well. And I request that you commit your prayers for the little efforts we are establishing. Then the other thing we are doing, we want to do with Brother Michael is one thing that I requested him to open up a YouTube channel. You know, in Africa, people don't have Rambo and the other program, but they have these common channels. And this is YouTube is widely read here in Africa. And I said, no, Michael, what can't we have a YouTube channel for prophecy? And then we can have clips posted. Now, when we are aware of whether you are live, you can speak on YouTube, and we can post ourselves either live or post. And he says, Joel, watch the heading of the prophecy. Then we suggested. Then he said, oh, Joel, we have this one. And we agreed with him that let's put a channel with a heading comparing history with prophecy. And now we want to see we are either growing in reading the Bible and understanding it correctly. And once you can do that, you can clip. You can, since you have a smartphone, recording devices these days are very cheap. I mean, very easily accessible. You can bring yours, and once either Joel or Michael has seen it, you write, posted it. I mean, he can post it and the others can see it. If you are free, then you can hear yourself a request for probably password, then you present. And also those whom we only have contacts, like Elder Bob, I said, we shall be requesting for video clips, recordings from them. Then with their authority, we can post Elder Bob's recording and post it, and people, when they click on YouTube channel and say, hey, what's this? Comparing history with the prophecy. What is being fulfilled now? And what has been fulfilled? All this, we need to put them in the social media platforms that people may continue understanding well the word of God using the correct presenters. So I thank the Lord that He's, I can say, leading us. And we are saying we want to keenly show the world that prophecy has been fulfilled in this way. Probably this has come right like this. So why can't we also have this recorded, not leave any churches? Now, those days when I could go to SDA churches, when I was still young, we could see people talk of prophets as something very mysterious with the word of God. And you could say, this man understands the Bible. This man is a man of God because he has probably interpreted the prophecy well. But you now want to leave recorded the visualized the interpretation of the right prophecy in the social media platform. So I believe the Lord is going also to accomplish that among us, so that at a time we don't want to post anything else, but we want to compare history with prophecy and it's posted. And when somebody clicks, I believe people will get to understand where we are, where we are going, what is happening. Thank you, dear Brother Michael, for doing that. And I only request that you all join us to give us clips, right clips that will enrich our people, edify our people with the present situation, with the past situation, and that God has been dealing with all of us in a historic manner to show us the future. Before we reach there, to show us the future as we live in this world. So, thank you. Pray for us. It's only that me, I have decided and I'm saying I want some donation of about $800 to have a panel that it can stand, you know. Wi-Fi works very well with the power. And in my village, you know, I live in deep village, 200 kilometers away from the city, the known city of Kampala. It's a deep village. And I've not accessed the power in my small house I live in. So I love to have a simple panel that can have an inverter to work on my computer, to work on Wi-Fi. It is stronger when you use Wi-Fi. I've seen how people break out very fast because they use direct data on phone. And sometimes hotspotting. And they get kicked out very fast from online. Now, I want to have a stable network by having Wi-Fi, and I believe the solar panel will support me very well by having a bigger one that can hold an inverter, same time with a computer. I will have a small room in my bed, a small setting in my bedroom, so that things are done rightly. So thank you for your prayer. Thank you for encouragement. I can say miraculously I've been transformed by copying what Bob, others, Rose, Jimmy have done, and I want to emulate and be a submission Lord. May the good Lord bless you for your support, for your prayers that things are being done rightly. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath and Sabbath blessing to you all.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother, and Sabbath blessings to you as well. We will keep all of that in prayers. And praise God that his word is spreading far and wide. Amen. I would like to sing this hymn here. Let me bring it up. Talking about Daniel and his companions being taken away from home, separated from the ones they love, and yet they remain true to God. Earthly friends may prove untrue, doubts and fears assail. One still loves and cares for you, one who will not fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails.
Sky be dark and drear, fierce and strong the gale, just remember he is near. Jesus will not fail. Away, Jesus never fails.
In life's dark and bitter hour, love will still prevail. Trust his everlasting power. Jesus will not fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. Thank you, dear Savior. Well, dear ones, who would like to offer closing prayer? And please go right ahead.
Thank you, dear Lord, for never failing us. And we pray that we will never fail you. Be with us each day, each hour. Send the Holy Spirit to keep our minds stayed upon you. And thank you for keeping us safe and for sending all of your blessings to remind us that you are the Creator, and that you love each one of us. Be with us throughout the rest of the Sabbath, and be a help to those who are asking for healing, for relief. Be with those who need your source of love. And thank you for being a God who answers prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Well, dear ones, have a wonderful, restful night's sleep. And those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful Sabbath day. Look forward to being back in fellowship with you soon. And until we meet again, keep looking up.
I had to close the door. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.